So let me pray and then invite you to pray along with me. We'll jump into God's word. Lord, I want to thank you for how you work in our hearts and our lives. And Lord, I thank you for the privilege that it is to be an encouragement to Haven Baptist Church. There's a church in Bunbury that loves this church, that is behind it, it prays for it, that financially invests within it. But Lord, we do that because of the people that are here. Lord, thank you for those people that are here, Lord. Thank you for the message that we'll hear. Lord, I pray that you will mold and shape and guide us and change us the way that you see fit. Lord, we want to be the people you want us to be. We want to do the things you want us to do. And in Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3. Now, it's my understanding that you are in a series called, can you guess what the series is called? All In. And that picture right there is a tremendous picture of being all in. And the church in Ephesus was a church that came from very, very negative past. They had things in their past that was totally contrary to the gospel. Everything that they had been taught and told along their life's journey was totally the opposite of God's love and grace and sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. And when they came to know Christ as the Savior, they had to say, we are going to be all in. We can't just kind of put our toe in and go, I guess I'll try it or not try it. And just like that picture on the screen where you have a person standing on the edge of a cliff, and you've ever been cliff diving, you stand there, and maybe you're like me. I go, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2. And you look down, and you begin anticipating. And when you take that first leap, everything is smooth sailing for just a few moments. And as you're falling towards the water below, it's smooth and there's no pain. It doesn't hurt. And maybe that's where you are right now. You've just recently taken that leap and everything's new and exciting and exhilarating. But below you comes the water. Below you comes the thump at the end. Are you prepared and ready for the life that God now has for you? As individuals within Haven Baptist Church, God has a great future for you. The community around you is desperately needing the gospel. And now you as individuals are saying, I'm all in. What does that mean? And you begin to understand and anticipate what is going on. In this book of Ephesians, written almost 2,000 years ago, there's two prayers. In chapter number 1, it records a prayer. The Apostle Paul records a prayer asking for enlightenment. He's saying, God, will you please give these people wisdom and understanding about what Jesus, who Jesus Christ is and what he's done for us. And then there's a second prayer in chapter number 3, which we're going to look at this morning. And this chapter number 3 prayer is a prayer for enablement. So first of all, he prays for enlightenment. And now he's praying for enablement. So in other words, between chapter 1 and chapter 3, there's a leap, and now they're all in. Now what are we going to do about it? How are we going to live life differently? There's a principle that I have that I want you to understand today. It is this: God enables me in Christ through the Holy Spirit. If you notice there, all three members of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, are involved in this. All three members of the Trinity are actively involved in your salvation. They're also actively involved in your now Christian life. God is actively involved in your enablement. The beauty of that is, you don't have to do this by yourself. And whatever stage of the Christian life you're in, whether you are a brand new Christian or you are what we refer to as a mature Christian, every single one of us needs the constant enablement of God in our life. You cannot do the Christian life by yourself. You can try, but you'll fail every single time. The Apostle Paul's prayer in chapter 3 is a prayer for others. But we can also turn this prayer and turn it around and pray this for ourselves first. And then from that, we can begin praying it for others. And once you've prayed it for yourself and you are living enabled, it becomes natural to pray it for others. So what we're going to do is we're going to read Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, and then we're going to go back and delve into this. There's 4 points that we have this morning, and you're going to notice these 4 words straight from the scripture. I'm not smart enough like your pastor to alliterate everything, where everything has to be the same letter. So not to show him up today, I chose not to alliterate today just to make you the hero. And so there's 4 words you're going to see as I read this. You're going to see the word strength. You're going to see the word depth. You're going to see the word comprehension. And you're also going to see the word fullness. So let's begin reading that. You can follow along on the screen or on your Bible. It says this: "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, be strengthened with the might through his Holy Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend," that's one of those words, "with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations." Now we're thinking about others. "Forever and ever. Amen." So the end of this prayer, the Apostle Paul has just laid out how we're going to go out and live this Christian life. So in many ways, just to re-illustrate this, you may be new in the Christian life and you've taken that leap and you said, we're all in, and now life begins to happen. How do we live life in the world around us when wrong is seen as right and right is seen as wrong? When good is seen as bad and bad is seen as good? When you as a Christian, your morals and your values and the ethics of the Christian life are seen as weird and crazy, how are you going to live differently as a result? And you go, and you may say to yourself, I can't do this by myself. And you know what God says? I know you can't. I agree. Therefore, I'm going to come along and ask you to pray for strength and depth and comprehension and fullness. Now, we could finish right there and say, amen, God bless you. But I drove 2.5 hours to be here. I'm going to get my time in because I want you to understand. So we're going to walk through these 4 points this morning. And with that, I hope that at least one of these will jump out in your life and you'll say, that's exactly what I needed for this week. Or come Wednesday, something's going to jump in your mind and go, you know what? That's exactly what I needed. Let's begin with that strength. Have you ever prayed to God and said, God, I need your help? And your voice breaks a little bit. God, I need you. Your pastor probably prayed that on Friday morning, anticipating surgery. God, I need your help. And that prayer sounds like a prayer of weakness. And as men, now some of you are men or South African men, which I understand South African men. You are strong men. You like rugby. And you don't want to show weakness. And you know what? The Aussie bloke's exactly the same. We don't want to show weakness. We want to show strength. And to admit that we're praying to God to give us strength sounds like a prayer of weakness. But you know, that's the strongest and the most brave, manliest prayer you can possibly pray. God, I need your strength. And it says in verse 16 that you would grant, sorry, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. So it says there, through his Spirit. We have the evidence of the Holy Spirit in our life. Saved people have the Holy Spirit in their life as evidence of God's salvation. The scripture teaches that the Holy Spirit seals us in our salvation. And the beauty of that is, he's the one holding on to us. We're not the one grasping onto him. And the beauty of seeing the Holy Spirit works, it says in the book of Romans, chapter 8, we'll read verses 1 and verse number 9. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. That's a beautiful verse right there. Maybe you need that today. We're not condemned. We've been called not guilty. It goes on in verse number 9. But you are not in the flesh. Now that right there is a weird statement. It just said, you are not living physical lives anymore. And you're going, well, yes, I am. My aches and pains, my back hurts today. My knees are creaking. I'm feeling the physical, but we're talking about the spiritual. He says, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, there's a strong statement. He is not his. And the his is capitalized there because talking about God's. So if you know Christ as your Savior, the Bible says the Holy Spirit is coming alongside you and giving you strength. He's the one in beginning to enable you. And that leads us into this next part where we have evidence and we have the enablement of our strength. That prayer of God, I need you, is that prayer of strength. And it would be unkind. And I'm a father of three teenagers. And they ask for stuff all the time. They're always hungry. Have you noticed that the teenagers, you will soon, that they're hungry all the time. You feed them, and then 5 minutes later, they're making themselves a sandwich. Like, why do I even bother? My son got home from work on Friday and ate all the chicken that I cooked up the night before for our dinner on Saturday night. I barbecued all this chicken, and we made extra, and we came home, and he ate it all. So we made something else for Saturday night dinner. Kids are hungry all the time. It would be totally contrary to the things of God for us to call out to God and say, God, I need you. The Holy Spirit to be sealing us and God to say, I don't think so. That would be totally opposite to anything that God would do in his nature. In a similar way, a good parent would say, yes, we will continue feeding you as teenagers. And it would be a good parent to feed their children. A good God says, I'm going to come alongside you and enable you. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the well-known verse, when Jesus Christ is talking to his disciples and giving them a commission to go out and reach the world, they would be thinking to themselves, there's no way we can do this on our own. And Jesus is saying, I know you can't. So therefore, verse number 8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and Alchemos and to the ends of the earth. That right there is the enablement of the Holy Spirit. So we start off with this prayer. And this prayer is saying, God, I need you. And it begins with strength. And then from there, the next word we find in that passage is the word depth. We want to go deeper. Verse number 17, to read that again. It says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you being rooted and grounded in love. There's some key words there. We have the word dwell. Dwell means to settle down and to feel at home. Now, I'm very hospitable. Your pastor, Dwayne and Valerie, they're even more hospitable. Like, they're the most hospitable people I know. Anytime you go to the house, they're going to offer you coffee and food. And normally you go when you're not hungry, but sometimes you just call their bluff and you start eating their food. And they welcome them into their home. And if you came to my home, I would welcome you into my home. If you just randomly knocked on the door, it'd be kind of weird. But I would say, welcome, come in. And there will be, we'd offer you tea, we'd offer you coffee. If we have any cake in the fridge, we'd offer you cake. We'd offer you our best, and we'd sit there. But after a while, it would become awkward, and then we'd say, so. And we would hope that you would get the hint that it was time to go home. And as hospitable as we are, there's a time where you can overstay your welcome. But that word there says that Christ may dwell in your heart is not he's going to come in for a while and stay a little while and then go home when they get bored. This is now the difference between a guest and family. the family stays there all the time. You know what the beauty of that is? You may be on the mountaintop right now, and you may think, God, we're so close, it's great, we're dwelling together. Or the other side of it is, you may be at the bottom. And you may be feeling, I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. Either way, if you know Christ is your Savior, the Bible says, Christ may live in your heart. He's not a guest. He's now taken up residence. The next word we see there is the word rooted, which has the understanding of plant roots or tree roots going down deep. A number of years ago, I loved to have a grass tree in my front yard. That was one of my hopes and dreams. And someone was selling one. It's typical. I was doing them a favor by digging it out of their front yard. And they say, for free. And in reality, it's like, do all the work and just take this away. And so I dug it out. And it was, you know, on the picture, it was only this big. It's tiny. But in reality, it was huge. I cut it back and cut it out of the roots. And I got two teenagers from my church to come and help me load it into the trailer. And they earned their Hungry Jacks that day for lunch. And we put it in the ground, and I took all the instructions. I followed them, and I followed them perfectly. I thought that was perfect. I watered and watered and watered it in and put everything around it the way it's supposed to be. It was a lot of work to transplant this grass tree into my front yard. And for a while, it looked really good. The problem was, and this is my little bit of horticultural advice to you, grass trees are very temperamental. Make sure you get one with a guarantee, because the ones that you get for free from people's front yards, they tend to die. And I knew it was dying because it had no growth. And after 12 months, it slowly withered away. And then it finally broke and died. And it was obvious that it was dead. And then there came the not nearly as fun task of digging it out and removing it. Because it didn't make roots. It looked good for a while. But when the heat came, it dried out from the inside out. And even on the outside, it looked pretty good for a while. But in reality, it was dead on the inside because it had no depth. So with Christ living in us, now we have the blessing of growing deep and having nourishment and strength that is not natural. The people at work that don't know Christ as the Savior, those at school that you go to school with that don't know Christ as the Savior, will not understand that enablement that you have in the depth of Jesus Christ. And it goes on, it says, grounded. The word grounded has the understanding of going deep, deep down into bedrock, like a skyscraper. In Perth, there's a number of new skyscrapers being built. And when you walk up to them, and we often don't realize how deep those pylons go down into the ground. They go down deep into bedrock, and they secure themselves so they can go high. And if they don't go deep, they can't go high. And in a similar way with your life and my life, if you don't have Christ dwelling in your life, and if you aren't rooted down deep and grounded into the truth of God's word, you are not going to be enabled to go high. You can try things in your own strength, in your own power, and it may physically on the outside work for a while, but it will not work in the long term. So quickly, to review, we have a prayer of submission. The Apostle Paul is seeing these people in this real place called Ephesus, and they've gone all in. There's total difference in the world around them. Their entire mindset of the people in Ephesus was filled with debauchery. Every part of their life and their workings was evil and disgusting. Their worship in the temple of the goddess Diana was filled with prostitution and immorality. And now they're beginning to change their mind, and they go from strength to depth. Now they begin to understand. And now they're beginning to, now I understand. Now I see it. I've been married for 19 years, and I'm just beginning to understand the depth and the understanding of my wife. And her patience is just growing and developing over time. And what we see there in verses 18 and 19, may be able to comprehend. Isn't it a joy that we're enabled to see beyond just the immediate? as we read the scriptures and begin to understand the things of truth in the Word of God, we understand more than just the simple here. We understand the big picture. And as you delve into God's Word, He gives you more and more comprehension and more insight into the things of life. And it says that may be able to comprehend with all the saints. And here's 4 points. You've heard of 3D. This is 4D. This is the width and the length, the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. And here's the key, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That word comprehend literally means to grasp, to hold on to. It's to be able to catch it and to hold on to it. And with training and development, you can be a great catcher. You can catch things. You begin to read your Bible, and things of the Bible begin to jump out at you and go, I never saw that before. That's one of the joys of reading our Bible every single day, is that we are giving God, and I like to use this term, ammunition to use in our life. That's a positive term, not a negative. Because when you need strength, when you need depth, when you need the things of God in your life, it's amazing how the scripture just jumps out. Or you listen to radio and God brings a song, a Christian song on the radio, and you go, that's exactly what I needed. Or you seemingly, randomly read a scripture and God says, that's exactly what I needed for today. With that, we have verse number 19 that says, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. That's the understanding. To fully experience the love of Christ. It talks about the breadth and the length and the height and the depth. This is not just a cognitive understanding, where you have an understanding where I can explain these words. Oftentimes we sound intelligent because we can pronounce words that are hard to pronounce, and it makes us sound like we have an understanding. This is not just head knowledge. This is goes down to heart knowledge. And in your life this week, you're going to be faced with things and opportunities, negative and positive, that you cannot do this on your own head knowledge. You're going to need a heart knowledge or a biblical comprehension of the things of God. And then from that, we have the joy of acceptance. I believe we're closing with the song, Stand in Your Love. That's what Valerie told me. We're closing with the song, Stand in Your Love. And there's a verse that you're going to sing in that song in a few minutes' time that's easy to sing. In fact, it rolls off my tongue. I'm not going to sing it. It says this. When darkness tries to roll over my bones, that just rolled off my tongue so easily. When sorrow comes to steal the joy I own, when brokenness and pain is all I know, that was really easy to say. I don't think any of us want to experience that. But when you do, can you say the words of that song, I will not be shaken? That's hard. It's easy to roll off our tongue and sing, I will not be shaken, it says. Then the chorus goes on, my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. I really hope you're singing that at the end today. Otherwise, it's a weird illustration. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. That's when it goes from head knowledge down to heart knowledge. That's when it goes from being very hypothetical and everything is just clear and nice and linear on paper and actually going out and living this life that's really difficult. You cannot do this by yourself. So what we're praying to God, we're calling out to Him and we're praying for strength. We're praying for depth. We're praying for comprehension. And finally it says, it uses the word fullness. Fullness, we want to be completely filled with what is true and reject what is not true. And when we think of being full, oftentimes the illustration that comes to my mind is the thought of a vacuum. A vacuum always is sucking things toward it. I like to also use the analogy of a bucket. Now, I'm not calling you a bucket today, but a bucket always has to be full of something. And as you take out various things of your life, the things that are ungodly, the things that the Holy Spirit brings to light. You say, you know, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to say that anymore. I'm not going to go there anymore. I'm not going to be that person anymore. It creates a vacuum in our bucket of our life. And if we always have to be full, we'll be filled with something if we don't fill it with the things of truth. So the Apostle Paul is praying this prayer for people who were living in a world where they were totally the odd ones out. Everything that these new Christians were doing and saying was culturally really, really weird. So he prays for them. And he says, my prayer for you is that you will have God's strength, you'll have God's depth, you'll have comprehension of God, but also you'll be completely filled with the things of God. And verse number 19 says that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. A number of years ago, my first job out of high school, I worked at the most happy place on earth called Bunnings. And the happiest place on earth was Bunnings. As an 18-year-old, I worked in a number of different sections, but I worked for about 8 or 9 months in the fixing section, which is the nuts and bolts. And to look at a particular bolt and know the size and know the thread and know, you know, is it metric or imperial and what's the thread depth, it took a lot of training, but also there's a little guide you used to screw things in and tell you what particular thread it was. And over time, you look at something and someone would come in and they say, this nut is just not fitting on this bolt. And I tried. It looks right. It's just not fitting. And you would take it over to the little section. You try a bunch of different nuts and say, it's not an imperial. It's a metric thread. Sorry, ladies. If you don't understand, or young men, if you don't understand this, someday you may work at Bunnings too and you can understand these things. And the right thread, when it would fit on the bolt, would be so smooth. You just go psh, and go all the way down. But trying to thread on the wrong nut onto the wrong bolt was so difficult. And so often in life, it looks right and it looks like it should fit. It just doesn't fit correctly. And we scratch our heads year after year wondering, why doesn't my life seem to work correctly? I'm doing on the outside everything that looks good, but in reality, we have, in a sense, the wrong thread. So with that, it says there in Colossians chapter number 2, we talks about who we are. If we're called to be full, it says in Colossians 2 verses 9 and 10, for in him, notice it's capitalized, it's talking about Christ. In Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. Be honest with you, that was really easy to read. And we scratch our heads going, what is that talking about? Being full in the fullness of the Godhead? What does that mean? Essentially what it means is, when you know Christ as your Savior, you are 100% filled with God. You are never at any moment after salvation any more or less saved than the moment of your salvation. As I mentioned before, I've been married to my wife for 19 years. I have a lot of pressure because next year is our 20th. What are we going to do? And the moment that we were pronounced, you are now man and wife, and the only thing I wanted to hear in the entire wedding was the final statement, you may kiss your bride. That's all I wanted to hear. It's over. It's done. The paperwork was signed. It's been registered in the Department of Birth, Deaths, and Marriages. We are legally 100% married. Legally, after 19 years, I'm still exactly the same legally married that I was 19 years earlier. But I hope as the years go by that I've learned a lot more about her. I hope that my love has grown deeper and been strengthened over those years. I hope that she loves me more than we did back 19 years ago as a young couple making promises with sweaty hands on a stage saying we love each other till death do us part. Legally, though, we were exactly the same married as we were 19 years ago. The same thing for your life. The moment of your salvation, you are completely filled with God. You are now, in a sense, legally no more or less saved than you were at 20 years' time after you've been saved. The blessing of that is, positionally in Christ, you are now completely saved. And then it goes on to the practical. The practical side is the fullness we have positionally. We're 100% filled with the things of God. Now, practically, how do we live that out? The little simple phrase on the screen says, but be filled with the Spirit. You are completely filled and sealed with the Spirit, but every single day, you're going to need to now allow God to enable you to live this life. So this prayer that we've been praying through is a prayer of enablement, asking God, God, will you help me? Will you enable me to live this life that I've now jumped off the cliff and said I'm all in for? And we can't do that by ourselves. The joy is that we get to do it with the Holy Spirit in us every single day. Just to illustrate that, if you've ever happened to break down in a car and you've had to push the car, you understand how heavy that car is and how much effort it takes to push start it and get it up to speed in order for it to get going. It would be much easier than rather than having all of your teenagers together pushing the car with all as ever strong you are, it's much easier just to turn on the engine. And you may be in a very real way, and I'm going to be really practical for just a moment. You may have known Christ as your Savior for quite a while. And you've gone through the motions of church. Even with new churches, you know when to sit down, when to stand up. Do you find, this is a little side note, that you find you sit in the same seats all the time? No one sits in the front row except the blessing people. And you get into a routine. And in a very real way, you kind of on the outside know how to do this Christian life. You know when to sit down, when to stand up, who to shake hands with. You know the fastest ways out of the church at the end. You know how to do the Christian life in your workplace. You know who to avoid, where to go, who you can talk to, who you can't talk to. You know who you can share that you are a Christian with and who you can't share you're a Christian with. You know who you can share truth with and who you better just be quiet around. You can go through the motions of life, literally year after year, decade after decade, going through the motions. But that's not what the Apostle Paul's calling this church to, and not calling Haven Baptist Church to either. He's calling you to be enabled, not in your own strength, because we can try that year after year, and you can do it successfully on the outside. We can say, what a good-looking person they are. But we're talking about working on the inside. So you may be praying that prayer, God, I need your strength. I need your depth. I need to understand you and comprehend you. I need your fullness. And that is the strongest prayer you're going to pray. It's the manliest prayer you're going to pray. And for ladies, it's the most ladylike prayer you're going to pray. So imagine how different your community will be in the greater Alkamos region. Will be, and what difference will it make if you could pray this prayer for yourself and then from that pray it for others? And it finishes off with these two verses. In verses 20 and 21, we see the verses. It says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. And you can join me in saying amen. Imagine the difference it will make. Why don't you stand with me as we pray? And as I pray, I'm going to invite you to begin praying that prayer for yourself, asking God for his strength and his depth and his comprehension and his fullness. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for how you work in our hearts and lives. We are not here by accident today, so you've allowed us to be here today. You've worked out the details of many other places we could possibly be today, but you allowed us to be here. You allowed us to study this passage today, Lord, and I pray that this will be an impact in our life. As these precious people go out and live in this world that is a dark world. Lord, we recognize that we cannot do this by ourselves. We need you every step of the way. So, Lord, I pray that you will give us your strength and your depth, your comprehension and your fullness, so we can go out and live the life you want us to live and make the impact that you want us to make. And in Jesus' name, amen.